This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Wednesday, July 12, 2006, and we're going to get right into it. Today we are going to talk with Remarkably Mark, or Chef Mark, about Big Brother 7 and other TV shows. Now, if you did not watch Big Brother last night and you are a watcher of Big Brother, then you may not want to listen to this show because we have some spoilers in here. So as soon as you hear the phone ringing, you might want to stop listening and come back to the end of the show where I make an announcement about Friday's show. So let's call Remarkably Mark on Skype.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
You're having a busy week, aren't you?
I'm having a busy week, yeah, but I've got a few minutes and we can talk now. My friend Jakob is making dinner for us. He's making a traditional Danish meal, so we're going to get some fun taste treats. And Amy is in with their son, Christian. He had a little bit of a meltdown. He went a little too long without a nap, so
uh-oh,
she's calming him down.
So you have some time to chit-chat.
Yeah, cool. I do.
So the second episode of Big Brother just ended.
Yes.
What do you think?
You know what? Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. I stopped watching it after the third season, and man, now I'm addicted again because of you.
Absolutely, me too.
It's your fault.
You can't blame it on me.
You started talking about Big Brother too, and then when I saw the whole the show where they were trying to all get chosen, I said I got sucked back into it. It's disgusting.
It is. It's totally disgusting.
And I'm totally loving it.
Me too. And it's Danielle. Getting juicier too. Already on the second episode, it's much juicier.
Already, I love, my favorite line was Will saying, "There's two people who are in love with me, Howie and me."
Me. Exactly.
Well, I don't know if that's how he phrased it, but it was something like that.
It was something like
that's
that.
Such a Dr. Will phrasing.
Well, so yeah. Now going back to the first episode, what do you think about Danielle getting herself in hot water by telling everybody, you know, about the not agreeing thing?
I was really surprised that she was not so subtle. I mean, because she was so masterful the first time around. As she pointed out, she never got nominated, and she made it to number two. I mean, she ran that entire show, and here she just went a little bit too whole hog right out of the gate. I think she didn't realize that. Wait a minute, she's playing with other all stars. They've
exactly.
been around the block. These were people who were good at what they were doing. I mean, if you remember, each season, the first few people to go were the people who just didn't really, either who pissed people off right away, or who just were so unsavvy and didn't play the game from the beginning. They just thought, oh, it's a fun little thing, and they didn't make alliances.
Right, and it's like, and it was the people who weren't even thinking about what they were saying, and Danielle blabbering that to Allison was such a big mistake, because Allison went right to them, to those other people, and told them about it.
So. Well, I think that was what she planned for. It wasn't a mistake in terms of, like, her plan came out exactly as she wanted it, but it was a tactical error because she didn't. She's always been more subtle than that. Like, she's always been the sort of planting the seed and then letting the other people hang themselves. And in this case, well, she got ensnared in her own web this time.
Yeah. Now, also going back to the first episode, did the people who got into the house, were they people that you were expecting to get into the house, or were you hoping for different people?
Well, you know, I was hoping for some different people, but I'm not surprised that the people got in. They got in. I, you know, for the people from the last few seasons, I didn't really know as much about them. I only sort of saw it in passing here and there, so I didn't know as much. But you know, they were from the first couple of seasons. Who was it? I was thinking that Bunky would be nice.
I was really hoping for Bunky too, because he was one of my favorites.
Because he was so emotional. He was just such a yo-yo.
Yeah, he's a big crier.
And Marcellus just, he works my nerves. I can't stand that fool.
Well, he's the only gay one back in. He's
yeah.
the only gay character. Not character. He's the only gay person in the house right now.
Yeah, and it's like, I could care less, because I can't stand that fool.
Oh, well, but he's representing us right now, so.
No, he ain't representing me, honey. Dr. Will's representing me.
No, you'd like him to represent you.
I'd like to represent me all night.
Oh, you're bad. Well, now, speaking
of... I loved him the first time around, yeah.
Speaking of Dr. Will's being the hottie, do you think there are any other hotties in the house?
Well, you know, I mean, I agree with you that James is good looking, but James, he exudes insecurity,
which
makes him not look so nice. He is like, he thinks that he's the same as Dr. Will, but he isn't because he's so insecure. You know, that's coming, that is every, all of his deviousness and his arrogance is coming out of his insecurity. Whereas Dr. Will, his arrogance is coming out of his security. I mean, he's
right.
So comfortable being who he is. And he knows himself so well that, you know, that's who he is, and he's good at being that.
Yeah, I always feel sorry.
It's not bravado.
I always feel sorry for James because he is so insecure. He doesn't represent himself very well. It's like he comes off as a very, well, insecure person and lacks the ability to stand up for himself. So.
Yeah, and therefore I don't really have much respect for him.
But
now Howie, on the other hand, is just a mess. I mean, this is an overgrown. This is a case of arrested development. I mean, this is a loser who's big and old and just a complete loser.
He is. I can't imagine what he does in real life that he's successful at it.
Oh well, he's obviously not.
Yeah. But now, what about?
Idiot. I was really surprised, and of course, you know, this always, I'm always reminded of just how much they edit these things to present a, you know, to craft a storyline on these reality shows, because we didn't hear anything from Nakoma. We didn't hear anything from James until near the end. You know, there were a lot of people that just sort of weren't really shown at all in this show, and it just reminds me that, you know, the producers edit this thing so crazy. They have so much footage that they decide, well, this is the story we're going to tell, so much to the point where they even create a story that might not really even be a story.
That's true, too. But I think at the same time, maybe those two just didn't do anything spectacular during the week for them to record, you know, for them to show. Because if you remember from, I don't know if you saw the season that James was on, but he pretty much flew under the radar for the longest time until, you know, certain things happen. But there are certain people who would just fly under the radar for the longest time, and then they get caught up into the story. So
yeah, but it's interesting because I think that on these reality shows, the whole flying under the radar strategy is sort of played out. Like people realize, like starting from the old guy in the first Survivor, you know, Rudy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that too many people think, oh, I'll fly under the radar and then I'll come out at the end. And it's like that as a strategy is kind of played out.
Yeah, that's true.
On these games, you know, on these reality shows. But yeah, it was just, you know, it was just interesting to see, you know, when you put people who have been, all of these people have sort of enjoyed their little taste of pseudo fame that they've had from being on the show. And I think that they all have a sort of a degree of cockiness that is just interesting to watch. It's kind of like a train wreck. Like, here's a bunch of people who are all losers who have these big egos.
Yeah.
And it's just watching them just self-destruct one by one. Like, and I think part of it is that's part of Danielle's thing. Like, she got cocky. You know?
Yeah, I agree with
that. And she made a mistake.
But at the same time,
I wouldn't be surprised to see her go right away.
You think, okay, well, let's go into that then. It's Allison and Danielle are up for nomination, and as we saw on the veto competition, Janelle won the veto competition, and she did not use the veto on either one, so one of them is definitely leaving on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to go?
I fear that it will be Danielle, even though I love her. She's, first of all, she, to me, is one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen. I just have to, like, look at her face all the time.
Yeah, she is beautiful.
You know what I mean? Like, once in a while you find someone, you just have to stare at their face. She's so gorgeous. So, and also, because she's smart, you know? She's very smart. I like her. She's not that I admire her deviousness, but you know that's what you're supposed to like in these games. You're supposed to like, you know, the quote unquote evil people, but I think that she might end up going because so many of these people fear her. They know how devious she can be, so they totally fear her. She's the most, you know, she's the strongest player in the house in that regard. That she's very manipulative, and she's capable of playing people without them knowing it. even though they know that she does that, like, you know, even despite that.
Yeah, but don't you think that that's part of the editing thing you were talking about, that they have made her out to be that way? Like, they showed the conversation in the head of household room about them saying that she's the devious one, even though she doesn't win competition, she's very devious.
No, I mean, I'm going off the previous seasons. I mean,
okay.
She herself, every time she's gone into that diary room, she's talked about how devious she is, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And how manipulative, how she's manipulating the situation to win, you know, to get her goal. You know, remember she was famous because she would say, you know, one down, eight to go.
Yeah, that's true.
Two down, seven to go. And she literally went through the whole thing and she said, you know, five down, one to go, or whatever it was, you know.
Well, see, I'd like to see Allison go, because she is one who wins, who in her season, she won a lot of competitions, even though she didn't win veto tonight.
Yeah.
I'd like to see her go, and I'd like to keep seeing the deviousness of Danielle in the show, because I think that would be, you know, good drama.
Well,
for,
yeah, I mean,
Big
I
Brother.
Agree. That's what I meant. But yeah. I'm saying I expect that the other players will want to vote her off, because they're all, you know, they're all having that taste of hunger to try to win, and they realize that she's one of the stronger people. I think, you know, if there are certain people who, when they get nominated, I fear that they will go because of who they are. Like Dr. Will, if and when he gets nominated, he's
yeah.
going to go. Because he's the only winner, and that people have this on these shows when they have these all quote unquote all star things, they want to take the winners out. They're like, you don't deserve it because you already won $1 million.
Right.
So why
right.
would you? Why you know? Why should you win it again? It's that, you know, that twisted sort of sense of fairness, which, you know, none of it is fair, but it's like, oh, they think it's that somehow it would be unjust for him to win again.
Right. Well, now, did you see the season that Chase was in? Jace was in.
No, I didn't watch that season.
I forget which season it was, but he was very, very cocky the year he was on. But now I haven't seen his.
Well, they
cocky
showed
sign.
Yeah on that pre-show thing. They showed a lot of those clips of him being super cocky. And on this one, I was surprised. I was prepared to hate him, but actually, I don't hate him.
Well, I don't hate him yet. I don't know that they're
and
just
he,
not
also,
showing.
Also, I from the way like the clips that they showed, I thought I would find him like smarmy, like unattractive in that smarmy way, like a good-looking guy who's just smarmy and gross, so therefore I find unattractive. And actually, I'm surprised that on the actual show I don't find him as much that way as I would have thought.
Well, the only thing
he actually
I
seems like a real person.
So far, so I think it will come out eventually, but in terms of his looks, I think the only thing he needs to change is his hair. I can't stand watching him, his hair. It needs to be a little bit more coiffed. So, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. I just got a Skype note from someone that I have no idea who they are.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's saying, don't miss the reel-to-reel show tonight. We will be starting the show in 15 minutes, so there's still time to get in. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Sorry.
Sounds
so I'm
like
not
it might
rush.
Be an advertisement.
On Skype? Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't know.
So now, on Thursday's show...
Thank you! Wow, my friend just brought me a glass of wine.
Oh, that was nice.
How nice. Now, this is a Sancerre. Yeah, it's a Sancerre. It looks nice.
Cool. So, on
2004 Sancerre. And there's Steva saying
there's
thank
Steva.
You.
There's Steva. Hi, Steva. So, as I was saying, on Thursday night's show, we will find out who gets kicked out, and then they will also do the next head of household, right?
I think that's how it goes. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched it in so long.
Who do you think is going to be the next head of household? Just it's totally a guess, of course.
Total guess. I don't know. Nakoma. I don't know. Well, there's going to be two, right?
Yeah, I think it might be Kacer and Mike Boogie.
Oh, you know, we didn't talk about Mike Boogie. Can't stand Mike Boogie.
I can't stand him either.
I think he is like what I said about James, but twice. Because he's the little hanger-oner of Dr. Will, and
exactly.
he thinks he's as cool as Dr. Will, and I think Dr. Will just likes having him around because, you know, he strokes his ego, but cannot stand that Mike Boogie loser.
That's what I was going to say. I can't stand
him.
He's
not even that cute.
He's not. Oh, I can't stand him. He is totally a hanger-on to Will, and I can't imagine why Will keeps him around. But in that first show, they talked about they have business ventures together. Like they
you didn't know that after Big Brother won the first, because I think they were the first season or the second season or whatever it was.
Yeah.
After that, they used the earnings and the quote unquote fame to start a bar in
right.
LA.
Right.
And it's still apparently it's still going. So, and I think Mike Boogie runs it, and Dr. Will is pretty much just, you know, an investor or like the co-owner or the silent partner or something like that, you know.
Well, I hope he doesn't hang around long because I really don't like him. I don't like his personality. I don't like his looks. I don't like him hanging on with Will. I just don't like him.
He's one of those quote-unquote cool kids, you know, the one who is part of the cool clique, but he's not really inherently cool or smart or attractive on his own. It's because of the way that he socializes with people that sort of he's you know, there's always that type who's always at the fringe of the cool kids
yes.
group, and therefore because of that and because of how much he's into that, he ends up weirdly being at the center of the cool kids group.
Well, but he's also on the fringe of being kicked out easily from the cool kids. Now let's make a prediction for a long shot here. Who do you think in the long run will win Big Brother 7? Because this is our first discussion of this, and I'm just, you know, totally throwing it out there.
Well, here's a total long shot, but Chicken George.
And oh yeah, he's totally a long shot.
He may, like, people think he's an idiot and he's playing the dumb thing, but he's going to go for a different strategy. He didn't have any strategy the first time, and he still did, you know, pretty well considering. I think that there's going to be, I think he might be like a real long shot, but it would be interesting to see that. Now, remind me, have they completely gotten rid of the whole America voting, or when does America vote?
I have no idea.
Because they used to have this thing where America would vote, right?
Well, they had this thing where America would vote for different things, like who gets a special, you know, visit with their family or something special.
But America didn't vote for, like, who would get kicked out? It was always the house guests?
Yeah, at least the last several seasons that I've been watching, it's always the people who make it onto the jury who get to turn the key or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. But now, in terms of Chicken George, did you see him tonight? I think he really is an idiot, because even though he was on the first season, that was like 6 years ago, he didn't even know where the diary room was. He was walking around trying to find the diary room. Did you see that?
You realize it's a different house. They switched houses.
Even so, I thought that was so funny. I'm like, you idiot. You've been in that house for several days, and you still don't know where the diary room is.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's funny, but I mean, maybe it's all a gimmick. Maybe he wants, again, maybe part of his strategy is making people think that he's an idiot, and then they'll sort of like him and feel that he's no threat, and they'll keep around. Maybe that's his version of the flying under the radar.
Yeah, I guess.
Possibly.
Okay, so it's a theory. So he's your long shot possible winner. Well, I'm looking at the pictures right now, and I think my long shot possible winner will be Diane.
I don't even know who that is.
Even though, well, you have to go to CBS.com and check out the pictures. I don't even know who that is. The only thing I don't like about her is her dyed black hair. You can tell it's dyed.
And, oh, that one.
And
oh.
The roots are going to be shown in about 3 weeks. So.
Fake Shania kind of look.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, our update on Big Brother 7. Do you have any other words about Big Brother 7?
Not specifically about Big Brother, but I have lots of stuff going on. I mean, it really has been a busy week for me.
You got a couple minutes to tell us about it?
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I've had friends visiting, and they were here for the Fancy Food Show. They own a retail food establishment in Albuquerque, a fine foods gourmet store, and they're here scoping out products and meeting distributors and people, and so they've been staying with me, and I actually went to high school with Amy.
Okay,
so
wait,
we know
let me
each
ask
other from long back.
Let me ask a question. On the Remarkable Palate podcast a couple months ago, you were talking to a lady out in Albuquerque.
That's her.
Aha,
that's Amy.
I remember her.
I was in their store and I interviewed Amy. She actually appears on the podcast, which I just uploaded, and it's going up tonight.
Oh, good.
The Remarkable Palate podcast, which is going to be highlights from the Fancy Food Show. So I basically did a quick edit of a bunch of the interviews I did, and just to give people a taste of some of the stuff that was going on at the Fancy Food Show this year. And then I got a scoop. I had an interview with Ariane Dagan, who is the owner of D'Artagnan, which is a fine specialty foods company. They're really famous for their duck products and of course their foie gras, and they have come under fire, with foie gras, the whole industry, with these targeted bans, and PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, are behind this activism to ban foie gras in places, and they shockingly and disgustingly succeeded in Chicago, which is completely unconstitutional. this ban, and so I got the scoop. They had a meeting last night of all the producers and sellers of foie gras in North America, which is the first time this has ever happened. They got together and they made an agreement, and they're actually suing the city of Chicago.
Wow.
They're putting a fund together to fight, and so they're going to do a two-fronted war. They're fighting back. They're not going to sit down while someone tries to ruin their livelihood. And the irony being that the ducks that are used in foie gras production are among the most humanely treated animals in all of the food industry. They live wonderful, happy lives. They get to move around. They get to graze naturally. And it's only it's only at the end of their life that it's unpleasant. You know, and all animals that we eat are raised to be slaughtered, and most of the animals that we eat live in horrible conditions. The ducks are the happiest of these animals, and so to say that it's cruel is just a complete misunderstanding of animal husbandry.
Well, that's cool that they're standing up for that. That's really good.
Yeah, and I was just very honored that she would allow us to be the first people to break the story on the Remarkable Palate podcast.
So that's on the show that you're going to post.
That's going up tonight. Okay. Yeah, yeah. She's an old friend. We've spoken to her many times. She's good friends with Jean-Louis Guérin, who is a friend of ours. He owns a restaurant in Connecticut, and he won this year's James Beard Award.
Yes, I remember that on your show too.
Yeah, we talked about that. So yeah. There's a lot of great stuff. So people, check that out. It's going up. It will be up Wednesday. It's the Wednesday show, Remarkable Palate number 47.
Very cool. Now, what about Remarkably Mark? Are you working on something for that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance. But I have some stuff that I've edited together that's going to go up just as soon as I get a chance. Yeah, new stuff going on all the time.
Well, now, did you hear that I don't know if you, I don't listen to this podcast, but John Ong told me that John Ong was interviewed on Podcast 411.
Yeah, Rob over at Podcast 411. I am subscribed to that. I've listened to that for several months now, and it was so neat. And he actually mentioned both of us.
Yes, I was going to tell you that. He mentioned your show on there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was very sweet. Yeah, yeah, that's a good show. It's a really interesting show to talk about just podcasting in general. You know, he interviews people who do it and people who do it well and how they got started and what their advice is and tips and tricks and strategies. And
yeah, well, I was just so honored that John Ong, of all the podcasts that he listens to, he mentioned the two of us as ones he has to listen to.
But you know what he didn't do? He didn't say
And I don't think he mentioned that he did songs for both of us either.
So. No, they did. They talked about that.
I must have missed
that. They talked about that. Yeah.
Excuse
yeah.
me.
So,
well, now let me ask you this. Okay, so we were mentioned on Podcast 411. Our show was played on Sirius Satellite Radio last week. And
then I was on Madge's show.
And you were on Madge's show. Have you seen any increase in your traffic?
Not noticeably, but then again, I haven't really been studying the stats. It's been such a busy week. I mean, it's ironic because all of this podcast stuff happened while my real life was super busy.
Yeah.
Because the other thing I had was this last week, I had a big giant party for a law firm on last Thursday. That was a big thing. It was just before my friends arrived, so it was quite busy.
Wow. Well, I have seen a little increase. My subscribers went up probably about 15 to 20 people. So that's
nice.
Why on yesterday's show I was welcoming all the listeners if they were from the Sirius group or from Podcast 411.
Well, let me welcome them to welcome new listeners.
Thank you.
Like as if I'm the co-host or something. Like
that's
I'm
right.
Ed McMahon. Or I'm more like Andy Richter. Right?
Are you saying that I'm Conan O'Brien?
That would be a compliment, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess that would be.
Or would you rather be Johnny Carson?
That's
really crazy stuff.
I'm not sure who I'd like to be. I don't think it really matters, though. It's just all for fun.
Actually, no, this is a total non sequitur, but speaking of these talk show hosts, I like Craig Ferguson. He's the best. He's hilarious.
That British guy?
You know, the Scottish guy.
The Scottish guy
that's on the Late Late Show. I love him. He's great.
Oh, I can't stand him. Well, another one I can't stand either is Jay Leno. I absolutely cannot watch that show.
You know, he's someone that I've never really gotten that into, but for whatever reason, the last few months, I watch the 10 o'clock shows on NBC, and then I just leave it on, and I end up watching some of him. And he actually surprised me just watching his show at you know, he's actually kind of funny. I just never was a real watcher of Jay Leno. He doesn't drive me crazy. Like some of the stuff they do on The Tonight Show is funnier than I thought it was, because I was always a Letterman fan.
Yeah.
And I thought Leno was this sort of dumb comedy, and Letterman was the smart kind of New York hip kind of comedy.
Yeah. Well, if I'm going to stay up that late, I'm going to watch Letterman. So, because I just can't stand the other ones. All right. Well, listen, better wrap this up.
I'm sure that Ramble Redhead would just be so frustrated listening to this whole show, because we are just talking about TV.
That's true.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not Ramble. Why did I say Ramble Redhead?
I don't know.
I meant Special Delivery Mart.
Special Delivery Mart.
We're talking. That's right. This Sansara is already going to my head because I'm on an empty stomach.
Oh.
Oh, and then speaking of which, this, again, more non sequiturs, but okay. Today was the last day of the Fancy Food Show, and, you know, they give out samples for you to taste during the show, and technically you're not supposed to take samples out of the hall, and what they do is they actually confiscate them as you leave the hall, and they say supposedly it's going to a charity. So, like, we figure out strategies of how to get out of the hall with the samples that we've been given, because I interviewed this French cheese guy this morning, and he gave me a really long interview explaining a lot about cheeses, and I swung by on my way out because my business partner Jennifer was with me, and I introduced them, and he said, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here, because, you know, we're packing up and we can't take any of this cheese back to France with us." So he gave me about like $250 worth of cheese.
Oh my gosh.
Like big giant, like wheels, entire wheels of Bria Savarin, Mimoulette, and like three Comté and a few other really nice French cheeses. And I'm like, oh, how am I going to get this through, right? So, and then I had some olive oil that was given to me by some Spanish producers. And so we figured it out. Jennifer said, okay, here's what we do. We bury all the stuff like down in our bags underneath literature. And then we turn on the recorder, right? We've been recording the whole time. We turn on the recorder as if I'm interviewing her as we leave the hall.
Oh, that's
and
perfect.
And so we like basically like mocked up an interview, you know, and I was asking her questions and you know, nodding very seriously as she was expounding upon, you know, all of this gastronomic stuff. And then we just sort of did that. And the guy who was supposed to check, like, he didn't dare interview, you know, interrupt this press interview for the radio, you know, because I had my big microphone with me.
Oh my gosh.
How we smuggled out all the contraband.
Good for
all
you.
Cheese.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
I thought you'd enjoy that because you like cheese.
I do love cheese.
You don't eat vegetables, but you like cheese.
I do love cheese. Well, now I have to totally change subjects and I have to wrap this up. So I'm going to end this with one more question for you, totally non-related to anything we've talked about, except that it has to do with TV. On the Logo Channel, that comedian Ant has a show called The U.S. of Ant. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, it's funny because I if you recall on the Remarkably Mark show that I did, that was the beginning of Pride, where it was the rally at Bryant Park.
Yeah,
he was the MC, and I included a clip of him where he's actually plugging that show.
That's right. That's right.
I have seen it and I've liked it. Actually, I've been surprised. I've never really liked him as a comedian, but on this kind of thing, it he does really well.
Yeah, I like it too. But here's the one question I have for you.
He was at Ole Miss.
Yeah, that was the last one. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think it was North or South Carolina was the very, very last one. That was on yesterday. Anyway, that has nothing to do with it. The question
is... Okay, sorry, what's your question?
That's okay. The question is, does he wear a toupee?
You know, I never thought of it.
Because his
hair...
I never
really looked at him that closely, because
his hair just looks...
Look at.
Well, it just looks weird. Even though in a couple shots in the front, you can see that his hair is actually growing out of his head. But it just doesn't look like it's... I mean, like, you can see the hair follicles
as
and stuff.
As it should be. Yeah.
But I mean, it just looks like he's got a toupee on somewhere on his head. That's
okay,
all
I'll
I'm saying.
Okay, I'll have to take a look out for that.
Yeah, you watch that and report back to me next time we talk.
Well, as you know, I interviewed Frank DiCaro, another gay comedian, and he definitely doesn't have any hair on his head.
He's totally bald. But you know what I bet he does have? He has a hairy back.
You are bad. You are bad. And Frank DiCaro might be listening to my show now that I've interviewed him, but thank God this is your show.
Yeah, he won't listen to mine.
I won't mention this then.
On your show, don't do that.
No.
All right, well, listen, thank you so much for being on the show and chatting about Big Brother. We might have to make this a weekly feature.
Let's gauge reaction and see what people think, because other people may not be as big TV fans as we are.
That's true. Oh, well.
But
all
we,
right.
But we can talk about Treasure Hunters, which we haven't yet. And maybe I'll have to have you on my show to talk about Treasure Hunters.
Well, I don't watch that show, so I don't know what I can give
You're
you.
You're terrible. You don't eat vegetables. You don't watch Treasure Hunters. What do we have to talk about besides Big Brother and cheese?
I don't know.
And politics. Actually, I posted another comment on your
I saw
on
that.
On your discussion, you know, regarding that whole, you know, the whole karma thing and all of that stuff.
I did see that. That was actually a really good discussion on there. Excellent comments from Dave and VA and from Homer and from you and somebody else, I think. But that was a really good discussion, I thought.
Yeah, it was nice.
All right, I'm going to wrap this up. So thanks so much for being on the show.
All righty. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. You have a great evening.
Say hi to the boyfriend.
I certainly will.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, boys and girls, that is the end of the show. Now, I just have one little thing for you. There will be no show on Thursday because the boyfriend is leaving for his vacation, and I am taking him to the airport, so I'll be at his house. I won't be able to record, blah, blah, blah. But we are going to record with the iRiver for a show on Friday, and the boyfriend has promised me that he's going to be having a little history podcast segment. So for a short time in the podcast on Friday, he is going to come up with some historical topic to talk about. So all of those of you who have been begging for his history podcast, tune in on Friday for his history segment. Anyway, boys and girls, thanks for listening. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for all the comments, voicemails, messages, everything. Appreciate it. And tune back in on Friday. So, boys and girls, until next time, bye. Archer Ray.